A few weeks ago, we looked at the sins of the prodigal brother, the prodigal's brother. And you remember we looked at them under three headings: the sins of a negative, critical, grumbling spirit, the sins of an offended spirit, and the sins of a compassionless heart. These are all sins that the prodigal's brother had. And tonight our theme is the sins of Ananias and Sapphira. Here in Acts chapter 5 we have the sins of a husband and wife exposed for all to see. One writer, one preacher on this passage entitled the sermon "The Wheat and the Tares," something we looked at a few weeks ago too, meaning of course that these two members of the church were tares mixed in the wheat. How very solemn and searching this is to our hearts. Here the old devil is on the warpath. The church of Jesus Christ was growing quickly, and he must do something about it. He must do something about it. Thus it was that he entered into these two people, Ananias and Sapphira. And what a tragedy it was that they yielded to his temptation. It's not surprising that after God's judgment fell upon Ananias and Sapphira, that great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. When the people heard about this incident, it filled everybody with a great sense of awe. And it should fill us with a great sense of awe even this evening. So the first thing we want to see this evening is the sins of Ananias and Sapphira. What was their sin? Well, it must have been very great when we consider how God judged these two people, husband and wife. And they were probably known and well respected in the church. They had witnessed the great power and the blessing of God. They were not outsiders. They weren't enemies of the church. So by all accounts, they were a decent, respectable couple within the church. But things were about to change. From Acts chapter 4, verses 33 to 37, we learn of the liberality of those early Christians, and particularly the generosity of Barnabas. Acts chapter 4 and verse 33. "And with great power give the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joas, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet." So there was great liberality. People were selling their lands, they were selling their houses, and bringing the money and giving it to the apostles. And it seems that Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, were impressed by this, and in a strange way, quite genuinely wanted to play their part. So they decided to sell some property, a piece of land, and give the money to the apostles and to the Lord's work. Well, we might say, so far, so good. But in verse 2, things start going wrong. Satan, the devil, now begins to tempt them. They sold a possession, a piece of land. Let's say they sold this piece of land for £1,000. But they give to the apostles maybe 750 out of the £1,000. So what was their sin? Well, they made out that they were given the whole £1,000, all of the money for the land. And they were withholding nothing, which of course was untrue. This was their sin. It was the sin of pretense. It was the sin of hypocrisy. It was the sin of deception. It was the sin of insincerity. It was the sin of lying. It was a sin against the church. And most of all, it was a sin against God. Where did this sin come from? Where was it conceived? Verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart? Why has Satan filled thine heart? It was conceived in their hearts. And this is where all sin begins. The devil will push through an open door, and those two partners, Ananias and Sapphira, opened the door of their hearts, and the devil walked right in. This sin was premeditated. In other words, they knew exactly what they were doing. This sin was intentional. It was planned. Husband and wife in full partnership in this deception. They sat down together and they talked this sin through. How much will we really give the Lord's work? And how much will we keep back for ourselves? The sin was intentional. It was planned. Husband and wife together. Now, of course, they could have kept all the money. They didn't have to give anything, nothing to the Lord. Verse 4 makes that very clear to us. But in their hearts, they conceived this sin. And now they put their plan into action with absolutely disastrous consequences. As Christians, there is something we need to learn here before we go any further. It is not a sin to be tempted by the devil. It only becomes a sin when we carry out what the devil has put into our hearts. Now that's a very, very basic but essential thing to know. Young Christians need to be taught this. It is not a sin to be tempted of the devil. So, did Ananias and Sapphira have to carry out this sin? Well, of course, the answer is no. Let us read 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So this temptation was very strong, but the Lord always, always makes a way of escape. So did they have to commit this sin? No, they didn't have to commit this sin. And as far as we know, their sin was unconfessed. Verse 5. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. Ananias heard Peter's words. He should have immediately fell to his knees. He was caught red-handed. But this sin he did not confess. In Proverbs chapter 28 verse 13 we read, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Ananias didn't receive mercy because he never asked for it. Neither did his wife. It was a grievous sin they had committed. But it was a sin they did not have to commit. And that is very important to hold in our memories as we go on and hear God's word. It was a sin that they did not have to commit. The second thing we want to see here is the courage of Peter. And this is something that we could so easily overlook. The courage of Peter. And we see Peter's courage in verses 3 and 4 and 7 and 8, or 8 and 9. But right away we must notice that Peter was not responsible for the judgment which fell upon Ananias and his wife. That was God's doing and his alone. All Peter did was to unmask their sham. Through Peter, the Lord uncovers their plot, their hypocrisy, their insincerity, their deception, their lying. And he was only able to do this because God gave him special discernment to recognize the true state of things. So God gave Peter and the apostles special revelation into learning who was telling them lies, who was being deceitful. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that Peter and these men were able to tell when people were lying to them? And all this in the background, remember, mighty things were happening in the church. Mighty things. And Satan was doing his absolute best to upset the work of God. And in Peter's case and in the apostles' case and those who worked with the apostles, it took great courage for Peter to act as he did. But this great courage which Peter shows here comes as an answer to prayer. Look again at Acts chapter 4 and verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by thy name, by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. So here we read that at this special prayer meeting, they had prayed that that they might have courage to do God's will. And here now, with Ananias and Sapphira, God is answering that prayer. How wonderful. How wonderful. An answer to prayer. Do we look for answers to prayers? I think this is one of the worst things for Christians. We fail to look for answers to prayers. But here we see it plainly and very clearly. Do you think Peter enjoyed himself as he confronted Ananias and his wife? Do you think he enjoyed himself? Well, of course he didn't. But he is a servant of the Most High God. He must be utterly faithful. He is a leader in the church. And sometimes there is little joy, indeed sometimes no joy, in some of the things which a leader is called to do. And here's a prime example. Other people, Jeremiah, Daniel, the apostles, verse 18, landed up in prison for their faithfulness to God. But every time we read, the Lord was with them, even behind the bars of the prison. Peter had great courage to do the things that God called him to do. He received this courage, this strength, through prayer. And that's how we receive strength today. Do we ask for it? Do we ask God for courage to help us in our witness to men and women? Again, it's something the Christian fails to do very often. Well, the third thing we want to see is the judgment of God. The judgment of God, verse 5. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. Ananias died on the spot. He stood looking at Peter, and he was speechless. He never uttered a word. There's not one word uttered by Ananias. Not one. Not one single word. Peter does all the talking. And it seems that the horror of being found out has paralyzed Ananias. And Peter doesn't miss the mark. He hits the mark in verse 3 when he says, "Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? It's in these words we find the answer to the severity of the punishment which he received. The Holy Ghost had just been given to the church believers. It was their help in preaching. What comes from preaching when accompanied by the Spirit? Believers come forth in repentance of sin and they trust in the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Ananias' punishment may seem severe, but it was a just punishment. It was designed to maintain the honour of the Holy Ghost. It was by the Holy Ghost Peter and the rest of the apostles were receiving instruction. And through this very severe judgment, God was showing the people that they should not resist the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. So judgment was swift. It was clinical. It was quick. So the sin, in the eyes of God, was very grievous indeed. But the fourth thing we want to see this evening is the reaction of the people. The reaction of the people. Look at the effects this had on the people. Verse 5. Second half. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. God's word tells us that great fear. Why was there great fear? Well, it was because that through the Holy Ghost these apostles could tell when men was lying to them. They learnt that. They learnt that. They learnt, we can't lie to these men anymore. We can't do it. These men are able to tell when we are lying. Remember, these men can now speak different languages. They couldn't do that before either. They're able to discern truth. They're able to discern when people are lying to them. And it didn't take them long to work it out. It didn't take them long to work it out. Why did Ananias die? How he died. They knew how he died. And they knew why he died. But if great fear fell upon those who witnessed this act of Ananias, they were about to get a second shock. Verse 7. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. Sapphira comes now to the apostles. And she comes expecting to share in the thanks for the money received, and she knows nothing of her husband's death. She knows nothing of her husband's death. Isn't that strange? Is that not strange? She knows nothing of her husband's death. 3 hours have passed and she knows nothing, heard nothing. Why? And I think it's very obvious the reason why. They were all afraid to go and tell her. They were all afraid to go and tell her. And now she walks in looking for praise, looking for a pat on the back. for the money that her and her husband has given to the Lord's work. But she doesn't get it. And Peter begins to speak to her once again. And he wastes no time and he asks her, "How much did you sell the land for? Was it for so much? Was it for £1,000? And she says, "Yes, that's right. But they'd only given £750, supposedly." And he says, "Is that the correct amount?" And she says, "Yes." And whenever she said yes, she drops herself right in it. She has told Peter the exact amount of money that her husband Ananias had told Peter. And immediately Peter knows that she and her husband was in this conspiracy together. This all took place in Solomon's porch. And I presume that many people could see what was going on. They could see what was going on. So it was in a public place. Peter tells her what has befallen her husband. And then Peter has this unenviable task of passing judgment upon her. What courage? What courage Peter had? What courage Peter showed? Verse 9. Then Peter said unto her, "How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out." Wow, what revelation the Lord gave to Peter. He says, "Peter, this woman's going to die for this sin, and you're going to tell her." How would you like that job? Well, there's difficult jobs in the church, but I certainly wouldn't like that job. Peter showed tremendous courage in carrying out what the Lord had instructed him to do. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. Tremendous courage. Verse 11. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. There's great fear. There's great fear in the believers, and there's great fear in the unbelievers. There's great fear all around. To the believer, it is the fear of grieving the Holy Spirit and of securing God's judgment. To the unbeliever, it is the fear of God's judgment upon them. But what came forth out of this tragic affair? Verse 14. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. Great blessing. Great blessing. That's what came forth. Out of this tragic affair, and it was tragic, came great blessing to the church. Two people lost their lives, but yet many came to saving faith. verses 15 and 16. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Out of this tragic occurrence came great blessing. Sick were being healed by Peter and the apostles. Not ones and twos and threes, but many, a multitude, came forth. Great power was going forth. The Holy Spirit was amongst these men. And through Peter and the apostles, God was using them that the gospel message went forth and was going forth in great power, to the effect that many multitudes of people were coming to the Lord. The severity of God's judgment upon Ananias and Sapphira, well, we can see the benefits of it now, can't we? So many came to saving faith. Great fear. Is there any fear of the Lord today in our province? Well, if there's any fear, it's certainly not a great fear. Not the great fear that we read of here in Acts chapter 5. Or sick. Do we really remember to pray for our sick in prayer? Or do we pray for them only here in the prayer meeting? Or do we pray in our own private time for those who are sick, for those who are unsaved, for those who are outside of Christ? The apostles prayed for help. They prayed for courage to do what they had to do as leaders in the church, and God answered their prayers. Do we believe that God will answer our prayers this evening? Well, may God give us the needed help this night, that we might not sin against him and grieve his Holy Spirit, and that we might have faith in believing that our God is an answerer of our prayers. Amen. I think I could ask Paul if he'd lead us in prayer.